is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction as always. It's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day today. It's been a crazy summer. We have a couple of hot topics we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how Disney can help those with autism. I know there was some negative press about Disney some while ago, and they're starting to address some things. But there's also a lot of positive things that Disney does for children with autism. Actually, today we're going to be doing the topic by my co-host. She won't be able to be on the program today with us because she's homesick and has no voice. But we're going to do the question of the week from our social media Facebook page. And the question was, obviously, this is August now. We're in the month of August. And many families that are planning vacations, we want to know what were the best family vacations that you would recommend to a family who has a child on the spectrum. What are some of the challenges? Do you bring your autistic children along, or do you leave them at home, or just take your neurotypical child with you, if you have any? And this is a topic that's come up a lot on Facebook and our social media, Twitter, and also our website. So this is going to be an ongoing thing. So if you want to email us at questions@autismradio.org, yes, please feel free. But I'm going to share a couple of these with you. I'm only going to give the first name. This one was from Mark, and I really like this one because this is definitely something that we do. He says that I would never exclude my child from going on vacation. They're not planning on doing one this year. They're waiting a little bit till he's old enough to really enjoy it and handle some of the differences slightly better with communicating them to us, and also help ease agitations, especially obviously flying for the first time. This is great because, you know, obviously when a child's too small, it's very hard to fly in a plane, and then never mind have a child with autism. Making that transition could be extremely, extremely challenging. Also had another one from Steven that he said he wouldn't leave his autistic son at home. He would find it very rude, which I agree with you, Steven. But I'm not also going to say anything bad for those parents that decide not to bring their child with them too, because that's all a personal choice. But I feel like, you know, you can include your child with autism with your vacation if you plan right. We have autistic globetrotting. A good friend of mine, Marguerite, is a very good friend of the show. We've had her on the show before. Also, she did a story about me and my vacation, how we selected a place that we go to the same place every year, which has been great. It really works well because he's very used to it. He gets extremely excited. He loves the beach. Lots of sensory stuff. The beach is a great place. It is a little dangerous, but because of the water, of course. But actually, he's very, very good with it now. And in the beginning, there was some really hard years. It wasn't always peaches and cream, I like to say. It was very challenging and it was very tasking. But you know what? I wanted to stay the course, take him every year, get him used to it. And now it's actually a real pleasure for him to go on vacation with us, because when he knows and I say the word vacation, he smiles from ear to ear, and it's awesome. And when he gets to the place and we unpack, he's so excited. You know, it's just been incredible. He's doing so well. But I'm sorry, I go back to Steven's response. He said he found it rude. He's just a member of the family, as anyone else would. Excluding him would mean that he's ashamed of him. And I agree with Steven there. Like I said, that's my personal belief, but I'm not going to condone anyone that decides not to bring their child with autism, because I understand certain times, it also could be depending on the place that you're going, but there's so many great things out there. If you go to Autistic Globetrotting for travel, she does a phenomenal job. Marguerite has been doing this for a really long time, and really brought her family life to so many people out there about traveling with your child with autism. And she has great tips up there, a lot of great information. So, you can definitely check it out. Go to autisticglobetrotting.com, and you can check out and get some great information there. But Stephanie wrote into us and said she doesn't judge those that leave ASD kiddos behind, which I agree with Stephanie there too, because I would never judge anyone. However, my personal belief myself, I feel like as a father, I'm being rude to my child personally. That's just me. But she said she has a niece who's 14, and everybody has a one-on-one escort, and they're leaving this weekend, and they build their vacation around things that everyone will enjoy, and they just have a great time, and so they just, they do it. You just have to plan ahead. Like I said, if you're traveling, you got to know what your son or daughter likes. Whether it's a long trip, you bring things like iPad, you bring snacks. You have to really plan ahead and pack, properly. And I think getting your child in the transition of getting used to, traveling. Like, I know some people, their children don't ride well in a car. So if he doesn't ride well in a car, I wouldn't take your child on a 10-hour road trip. Might be very challenging. I'm not saying you can't take a road trip, but you might want to start out small. Maybe you do a one-hour trip first, and then you do 2 hours, and you try to stretch that child, and over time, it will get easier. I really believe that. And like I said, Margalie has it on her website, and she does a great, great job with that. So you can definitely check it out. And we thank Lynn for putting that out there on our Facebook page, Autism Radio. Be sure, if you have not liked our page, go to Autism Radio and please like our page and become part of our family, because we just have such a great time. I wanted to share a little bit of a personal story with you guys about, since it's summer and it's, we're in August, this is kind of an interesting story. And I wanted to put this out there on the show, too, and you guys can, also write into us as well. You can write us in at questions@autismradio.org. Here's one for you I'll share. What is one of your most difficult challenges that you ever had, like, with your child, like doing something that really made you mad, but then at the same time almost made you proud? And I know that's kind of like a mixed saying there, but basically this is what happened with me. And my wife and I were laughing hysterically. Of course, he wasn't around. But he has an asphyxiation, or I should say severe OCD, with soap, liquid soap. Anytime liquid soap is around, he is grabbing it and dumping it on the floor, counter, his hands, sink, whatever. Also toothpaste, tubes of toothpaste. And of course, by putting the soap, he loves to spread it around. Well, over time, he realizes that this is not an appropriate behavior. Mom and Dad are not happy with you when you do these things, because obviously I've yelled at him and scolded him for that. And it's funny now, like what my wife told me the story yesterday, which I wanted to share with you. He went into the bathroom, and we had a little bit of liquid hand soap in the soap dispenser. And, of course, he dumped it onto the countertop where the sink is. So what he does now, he hides it. uses towels, paper towels, papers, whatever he can find to hide it up. So she comes walking in as she calls him, Jonathan, are you in the bathroom? And all of a sudden, she sees him grab a towel and hide it and act like he did nothing wrong. And she didn't want to laugh because obviously he needs to know this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable behavior. But I couldn't help but smile. And maybe some of you agree, maybe not. But that's like a defining moment for me as a parent. Because you know what? It brings that normalcy of a child covering up something they did. So as bad as it was, you know, cleaning up soap, which you can imagine, you know, cleaning up liquid soap is not fun because right before that, he got a bottle of shampoo and decided it would be fun to dump almost an entire bottle of shampoo on the carpet, which definitely was not a fun thing to clean up. So anybody's ever had that one, and I'm sure we want to hear from you guys, our listeners, with a great story with your child with autism that has done something like that. I think it's a great story to share something like that. And it's not a serious thing, but it is very annoying because, like I said, anytime you put soap out, he's getting it and dumping it. We're keeping the soap companies in business, guys. Trust me. We buy gallons and gallons of liquid hand soap. But our key is basically we try to keep it locked up as best we can. And also, of course, we don't fill the bottles. So that's kind of that's the best we can really do because you got to have soap there to wash our hands because I'm very big into hand washing and sanitation, obviously, is my background being a chef. Like to be very clean. So he's good at washing his hands. So I guess you can say he keeps very clean. I just thought that was funny. And I just wanted to share that, guys, that personal story with you guys. And we'd like to hear from you. So if you can go to our Facebook page and like us at Autism Radio and feel free to share one of your personal stories with us, and we'll like to share it with our listeners on the air. I find that a lot of families really appreciate that because they don't feel so alone. And, as bad as those things can be, I mean, obviously some children have done worse things than Jonathan and has done some things a lot worse than that. But the normalcy of him covering it up, like he knew he did something wrong, which means that he's very well aware. And he didn't want mom to see what he did, so he was trying to hide it. And we laughed. As frustrating as it was cleaning up soap 3 or 4 times yesterday, it was funny. It was actually funny. And you have to learn to really, really keep your sense of humor. It's really important. It can be very challenging. Believe me, I've lost my temper with him for sure. As a parent, it could be tough sometimes. So I've been there. I'm going through a lot of stuff that you guys are going through every week as well. I want to talk a little bit about this this thing with Disney. Can really do a lot of good for those that with autism and help a lot of them. Obviously we know like Disney's effect on children isn't hard to miss. I don't know if you guys remember there was a individual named Owen Suskind, who had a young boy with autism who learned actually to speak and interact after watching some Disney movies. I know I covered this story a while back, but the history of Disney, which was kind of like chronicled in a piece by the New York Times in the story. He started to talk when he heard the characters speak in the movies. And his father then took on the identity of the characters and actually spoke to his son in the voices. And then Owen would actually respond back, which is something that he never did for years. The one thing he did, the evil parrot. I don't know if you remember this, the Disney villain talking back. He said then, he'd hear a laugh and a joyful little laugh that he never heard in many years. And this was a great connection for him to use the cartoon characters to communicate with his son, and it opened him up into a whole new worlds, which is great. Because let's face it, kids really bond with the Disney characters, especially a lot of girls, they identify a lot with the Disney princesses, and it gives them a very quick connection to someone else. A lot of people on the autism spectrum, especially with autism, have a lot of challenges, struggles socially, identifying with a character in a Disney film, sometimes they helps them understand how they interact with other people. and it actually may help those with autism. It gives them a guideline on how to act and be social. So it's definitely a positive thing in that effect. That I think, you know, Disney can, you know, is obviously they're all about imagination and bringing those characters alive, which are incredible. But by using, they've actually done a lot of studies now in a lot of universities that using cartoons can be a tremendous beneficial teaching tool because they tend to inspire creativity and imagination, which is so important today because a lot of schools in general, like even neurotypical kids, you know, they're cutting a lot of the art programs out and stuff, and we're losing that creativity part that's such a beautiful thing, and we want to enhance that, not you know, shrink it down. So you know, it's just great, and we, you know, they find that a lot of kids with autism that are not known usually for playing pretend type games or being very imaginative, it's actually helping them with that. You know, and the other thing is that in Disney, there's a lot of lessons to learn. And actually, when you think about some of the movies, it's kind of rough, you know, some of the messages, like, you know, not in a bad way, but if you think about it, a lot of times parents die in these movies or go missing. I know I watched Frozen for the first time, you know, and Bambi, of course, movies like The Lion King, they all feature parental deaths in the movie, and it forces the main character to forge on in life with a new path towards success. And this may actually help a lot of individuals with autism since they tend not to seek a lot of parental attention. And the movies and the cartoons could actually help them learn to be more talkative, vibrant, and social without necessarily paying more attention to the parents. And it could also show them the importance of what parents can play in a child's growth as well. So these are all really interesting things. You know, and Disney also has a positive way where they can help kids learn. You know, maybe your child's not following directions or having trouble understanding concepts of, you know, two problems for those with autistic characters. And a lot of the Disney characters, like most cartoon characters, are often very instructional and teach kids how to follow order and direction. Like I know one show, and my son loves it. I don't know if you've seen this as a parent or your kids have watched it, but the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I know my brother's kids, they loved this show when they were little. I don't know if they still watch it now, but I know my son, he loves that show. And it's very instructional, very systematic type show, and they really, it catches and captivates their attention. Granted, you don't want to sit your kid in front of TV all day, because I'm definitely not a believer that you need to get out there, get your kid outside and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of good positives that can be out of it. Like Disney also teaches a lot of manners. There is like a lot of non-violent type Disney ones that are made, like Winnie the Pooh. You know, Disney Junior Television also has like Can You Teach My Alligator Manners? It promotes a lot of good practices in the home. And one sign of autism is temper tantrums, which can possibly be affected and helped by learning proper etiquette by using the Disney films that they've actually shown. You know, but Owen's story is like an example of basically that. The characters in Disney movies tend to be way over the top in color and vibrance. That's one sign of like kids with autism. Speaking in robot-type-like voices is something that's very seldom seen in Disney films because nearly all the characters have very, very colorful, bold personalities. By seeing these vibrant characteristics, they know how to talk with others, and those with autistic tendencies may also speak in a much colorful, more vibrant way. You know, so, and Disney's working on the parks. There were, you know, some issues with certain rides, and they have addressed it. But most kids, autistic kids, don't have to really worry about going to Disney World because they try to do a really good job. I had a good experience. I know some people have not had good experiences, but for the most part, most people have had good experiences. They really try to help and pay attention to individuals with autism, you know, and they can help a lot with speech skills. And I think, you know, Disney tries to now teach us not to worry. You know, and they know it's a daily struggle. very challenging. A lot of Disney songs can help individuals learn with autism to accept situations and build them from example. Great song, The Lion King, hit song, Hakuna Matata. It's all about no worries and let it go from Frozen. I mean, so these are great, great songs that are inspiration and really at the end of the day gives parents hope. And that's really what the bottom line it's all about. It's about bringing hope. Just like our program, Hope Saves the Day, we try to bring this show to you every week and be here for you. You know, they're trying to do that every day. It's really to keep the imaginations alive and keep the child, even in us and as adults. I mean, I don't know about you personally out there who's listening, but many, many parents I listen to, they like going to Disney more than the kids do sometimes. It almost gives us an excuse to go back and be a kid again and say, oh, well, we're going there for our kids. But realistically, they're the biggest fans of, you know, Peter Pan or Captain Hook or Cinderella or whoever it may be. You know, whether you're a girl or a guy, you know, everybody has their personal favorite characters that they can remember as a child. And most of us have grown up on Disney. I know I was, as a kid, a really huge Disney fan. Every new Disney movie that ever was released in the theater, back then it was like very different because they didn't have, that was even before VCRs and DVDs were around. They used to re-release these movies, and you know, some of these movies were the 50s and the 60s and even the late 40s, and they would re-release these into the theater for like, basically it was like the first time. So like when, as a kid, maybe I was 8, 9 years old, I go see the movie, a Disney film, and it was like a whole new movie. So Disney did a really great job by doing that because what they were doing is making an old movie new to a whole new generation, and that's what kept these characters alive. They were, nobody was better. And then of course they have their amusement parks and they built their rides. Nobody really did it better than them as far as being able to promote and market their characters. But it's always been a fun place to go with your family, and it's enjoyable, you know, for the most part. But it is a long day. I got to be honest, it's a long day, and I'm one of these people. I go to the park open to close. It's a little bit much, you know, especially with a child with autism. We probably should, myself, I think, if I go back next time, it's been, oh my God, a long time since I've been there. Maybe Disney will be listening. They'll send us some free tickets. No, I'm just kidding. But, well, actually, we'd probably give it away to our listeners. But anyway, I thought it was kind of funny because my daughter, you know, is a teenager now, and she's been asking, oh, Dad, when are we going to go back to Disney? But the biggest bottom line, let's be honest, it's a very expensive trip to go. It's not a cheap trip, especially with airfare and stuff like that, unless you drive. And even then, it's a long, long drive to Florida. A good friend of mine just went last year, drove down, and he's not in a hurry to drive back down, that's for sure. So from especially up here in New Jersey where we are, it's a bit of a ride. So some of you that are closer, you know, you should take advantage of that. But it's just a great thing, and they do great work, and they keep going forward. So we'll be excited to see what the future brings with Walt Disney's dream that it all started. And they've really done a great job keeping that alive. But we want to hear from our listeners about your summer. I know Lynn's going to have a new question for you next week on our Facebook page. It's up there for a whole week. And even our old questions, they stay up there too. So, you know, feel free to interact. But the best way, if you want to be part of the show, if you want to be on the show, you can call our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. Or you can write in to us and email us at questions@autismradio.org. That's probably the best way. And if you feel a little funny talking on the radio, because basically we can use your recording and we can play it live on the air for everybody to share about one of your interesting stories with your child with autism. But people like to hear from you. You know, it's keeps the spirits alive, guys, and it keeps hope. It gives a lot of hope back. And we're very excited that here on Autism Radio, we have some tremendous, tremendous members joining our first ever advisory council for Autism Radio. We're very, very excited. We're compiling a list of some of the most wonderful people in the autism community that do incredible things. And we're very, very excited to be able to bring that to you very soon. And they're going to be able to help a lot of people and help us even be more connected to what's going on in the community and how we can help better and better serve the autism community. And that's really what it's all about, is helping families. So also feel free to help us and make a donation today. Every dollar never gets wasted. Like I said, we're all 100% volunteer organization. So feel free to donate at donations.org. And also, you can go to our website at autismradio.org, and you can donate there. Also, if you're a company and want to be a sponsor, we have some great reasonable sponsorship packages. And of course, being a nonprofit, it's a tax deduction for your company. So feel free to contact us at donations.org, or if you want, directly to me at paul@autismradio.org, or you can also email rob@autismradio.org, who handles a lot of our sponsorship deals. So hopefully there's some great sponsors out there listening to our program. We appreciate everybody, and we want to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful week. And thank you for all your support for all these years on Hope Saves the Day. And want to tell everybody, as always, remember, until next time, Hope Saves the Day. Have a great one, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I want to know what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I want to know if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your life, what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear dropped inside. Imagine a thought you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know what it feels to be me. I want you to look into my world and see what I see. Hold your hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, in hope saves the day. To show you what I see, what kind of life will I have, what's in store for me. Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like razor light shine upon me, inside of me. With you by my side, I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, in hope saves the day. Hope saves the day. Hope saves the day.